Good morning. And I think I have to say a word of congratulations to those we've got here. It is a very select band this morning. So I think all I've got to do is hand over to Elaine. Well, I mean, apart from the rest of the service.
Too far. So good morning on this wet morning. So the intimations this morning. All are welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a visitor or a newcomer or visitor to the village. The Kirk Session meets for ordinary business this Wednesday, the 23rd of October at 7 o'clock in the church. Hats, scarves and gloves suitable for the shoebox are not on sale because they've all been sold. The Eternity Discussion Group is meeting every second Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the Irene Patterson Room to conclude our series on prophets with Amos. Next meeting is the 22nd of October. And you can contact Derek on 882190. Blythswood Shoebox Appeal. The church is once again supporting the Blythswood Care Shoebox Appeal. Please consider filling a shoebox and or donating goods, money or shoeboxes, or if you have any large elastic bands that would fit round a shoebox. Pick up a leaflet from the vestibule for more information, and donations can be accepted up to next Sunday, the 27th of October. This year's Christmas Craft Fair takes place on Saturday the 2nd of November from 10 until 2 p.m. in the church. See poster for more information. If you can help with the event, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. Catch. Kids at Church next takes place on Sunday the 3rd of November. Remembrance Day, this falls on Sunday the 10th of November this year. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. The duty team today is myself and Alistair. I'm reading as well, and Alistair's doing the prayers. And Irene and George are our Zoom and sound people today. For those on Zoom, here's a quick look at the order of service.
So, I hope you're all in good voice this morning. So, let's sing to God's praise and glory, hymn number 111, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, receive from our hands our offering. We pray that you will use this money in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you've looked at the order of service, you'll know that Alistair is leading us in prayer.
So let us pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, our song shall indeed rise to you. Along with all the saints, we adore you, for there is none beside you, blessed Trinity. Lord, you spoke and this world came into being. You laid the earth's foundation, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Along with the psalmist, we can proclaim, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When we consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Father, we praise you for your miracle of love by which you used the death of Jesus on the cross to set us free. The place of defeat has become the place of victory. In the humiliation of one man, you are confronted by your glory. Where life was lost, we find eternal life. As we bring you our praise, we also bring our confessions, asking for your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for taking care of us and loving us each and every day. Yet we know that we so often take that care for granted, and we do not return our love as we should. But we recognise that your unconditional love does not require our goodness first, rather our humility. We confess that we have not been the best we could be for you. Sometimes we've been lazy or disobedient and wanted our own way. Sometimes we've been quarrelsome and lost our temper. We have been greedy and selfish, wanting all the best things for ourselves. As we bring our confessions as individuals, we also think of ourselves collectively as a church. Lord Jesus, in the book of Revelation you wrote to the church in Sardis, you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Lord, that's an awful situation for a church to be in. Let us not be complacent, but examine ourselves honestly in your sight, not relying on others' opinion, but yours. Help us, if necessary, to wake up to reality, to be a vibrant, spirit-filled congregation, having the life and vitality you look for. Please forgive us as we now bring our own prayers to you, and help us to be the people you would have us be. Father, as we share in the activity of worship, cleanse our hearts and minds, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and open our lips to show forth your praise. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave us these words of prayer, we now say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 470, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun.
The first reading is taken from Job, chapter 38, verses 1 to 7. The Lord speaks. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy." Our New Testament reading comes from Mark chapter 10 and read from verse 35 to 45, the request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 467. All my days I will sing this song of gladness. How many of you have either attended or listened on the internet or maybe even watched a TV programme on the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland? Good. I'm glad to see that some people have. It is actually well worth doing. There's some interesting debates there, but one of the things that is said quite frequently by the moderator is that questions are always permissible. There are limits to the number of comments you can make. There is a timing if you are making any kind of a speech, and a bell will ring and you know you're going to be stopped very soon. But in terms of questions, questions are always permitted. In many situations in life, when we have a question and we think, you know what, I'm not going to ask because I'm probably the only person that hasn't understood. You are very likely to be wrong, because when you have a question, you can almost guarantee that there are others thinking, I didn't understand that. I'll just leave it. Of course, there are times when we have an important question that we, in truth, don't really want an answer to. It is sometimes good advice to ask a question only if you want to hear the answer. And also to know that when we speak and when we act, these things have consequences. Even when we think that we have considered every possible consequence of a word or action, there will be unintended consequences. And we certainly hear a lot about that on the news as people make decisions or say things that they then come to regret. James and John have a request of Jesus. Now, we might expect that Jesus would have been quite negative in his reply, because they say, we want you to do for us whatever we ask, which is a somewhat childish request. It's the kind of thing you see without thinking. And Jesus' answer is not the answer they expect. We can assume that they would realize that this would go down somewhat badly with the other disciples. They are effectively asking to be Jesus' right and left-hand men, his chief lieutenants. In other words, they want to be superior to the others. If Jesus said yes, it would not be a popular answer, but nobody would contest Jesus' right to appoint them. Jesus' answer, of course, is to say to James and John, you don't know what you're asking. In Mark's Gospel, in a very few verses after the passage we read today, it's the story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And of course, this is exactly what James and John thought they were asking, because that triumphal entry is exactly what the disciples think Jesus is going on to be. What they do not know is what is ahead. And Jesus' question is, can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And of course, they say yes. And actually, as at the enter Jerusalem, they're all thinking, this is great. The cup and the baptism assumed by James and John is one of honor and celebration. Yes, there may be some kind of struggle or opposition, but they will be victorious in an earthly sense. What they do not anticipate is that Jesus' answer is not places of glory, but places of suffering. We might wonder if in later times they look back on their question and realize how foolish they were in that moment. The answer to their question is most definitely not what they thought it to be. Going back to their original question about places of honor, What was it that James and John thought they were asking? And who were they asking this of? Jesus reminds them that the kingdom of God is exactly where the sovereignty of God is absolute. Between our reading last week and this week, we have a few verses where Jesus on the road tries to explain to his disciples what is coming. The disciples are astonished that Jesus is heading for Jerusalem, and those who follow are afraid. The crisis is near. Jesus takes the 12 aside to explain what faces them as they go to Jerusalem. Jesus takes his disciples aside at crucial moments so that they know what's coming. Did they hear what Jesus was saying? Instead, their thoughts are still of something great and wonderful in a very limited earthly and human way. Clearly, they have not heard or misinterpreted Jesus' words. Words about the first being last and the last being first. They've not taken in what Jesus has to say about Jerusalem and what will happen to him there. The question and the indignation of the other disciples are used by Jesus to remind his disciples of what he has said before. They are annoyed that someone thinks they're going to be superior because they've all been thinking the same thing. It's just James and John have made it more explicit. Greatness as a disciple is measured not by status, but by service. It's not about authority over, but service of. And greatness will be measured that way. There are people who very quietly and unobtrusively serve without any real thought of self or self-worth. There are people who, if you ask them, they would say that they're not very much in the kingdom of God. There are people who use terms like, well, I'll just do the dishes. And they would not think of themselves as anything. Are these the people counted as great by Jesus' measure? Of course, to add real emphasis, Jesus uses words that would have been offensive within that society and certainly to his disciples, because he goes from the word servant to the word slave. He says to his disciples, if you want to be first, it's about being slave of all. And the disciples would have understood that perfectly. The slave of all is the property of all. Slave had no say, was without status, without rights, in many ways a thing to be used. Of course, to treat someone as a slave is most definitely not Christian and against everything that we should see in the other, because we all are made in the image of God. We are meant to look at the other as someone in whom we see the imprint of God and someone to serve. We know that this is not the way the world works. All too often, we have mirrored the hierarchies of the world in the structures of the church. All too often, we have mirrored the hierarchies of the world in our treatment of each other. How many of us, in all honesty, have thought and sometimes said, do you think I'm your servant? If I'm being honest about myself, I have felt a certain pride in believing that I have been a pretty good servant. and made an honest attempt to see everybody as equal. Now, I know I've failed at that, but this passage challenges that. As I sat and read that passage, what does Jesus mean in speaking to me if I want to be first in the kingdom to be slave of all? And that's not saying you are equal to me and I am equal to you. It's about me saying, in my service of God, you are everything as I am nothing. Do I really believe in the sovereignty of God? So when I look at the other, whoever that other may be, do I look at that other and think, this is God that I am serving by serving that other? And if that is the case, then their sovereignty is over me if I am seeing God in them. When I have real complaint with God, why are things like this? Do we need a moment of standing beside Job in God's presence? Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Do we need to refocus on Jesus' words and remember what he did in our service? Can we ask passionately the questions of existence and be ready to receive answers, even if the answers hurt? That little quotation from Paul Tillich, being religious, being faithful, means asking passionately the questions of the meaning of our existence and being willing to receive answers, even if the answers hurt. And Jesus' answer, looking at the way the world works, where authority is authority over, and he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And not because Jesus says, but because Jesus did. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I gave today's talk, or the theme of the service, a title, Questions and Answers. And yes, we have real and passionate questions about our very existence. Are we ready to wait for God's answer? And maybe know that that answer will not be the one that we want. In truth, I find that very difficult, and I do struggle with it. Maybe I do need to go and read through that book of Job and maybe face up to some of the things in my own life. And so that question, or maybe that statement about being religious, about being faithful to God, means asking passionately the questions of the meaning of our existence, but also about being willing to receive answers, even if the answers hurt. Amen. And of course, in all of that, remembering that our sovereign Lord is a God of love. Hymn 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Now our prayers for other people. Alistair.
So let us pray once more. Well, God, you have given so much to us. Give one thing more, grateful hearts. Not thankful when it pleases us, as if your blessings had spare days, but such hearts whose very pulse may be your praise. So we take time to remember the good things you have done, the good things you have done in this country, with thanksgiving, worship and praise. We praise you for our leaders, our nation and the nations of the world. Sovereign God, you change times and seasons. You depose kings and raise up others. We commit to you our country of the United Kingdom and ask that in this new season of Labour government, you might bring peace and prosperity to our land. Please help our new leaders and our Prime Minister to make good and just decisions that help our nation to echo your heart and resemble your kingdom. We plead for revival, that the United Kingdom might yet return to you and flourish in the plans for good you have for us. In humility and repentance, we pray for lives to be transformed by Jesus, to see a spiritual awakening in our nation. We pray for the suffering church. God of grace and hope, thank you that your compassions never fail. When evildoers seek to kill and destroy, please fill your people with the remembrance that you are our life. When hunger ravages the earth through human failure or natural disaster, please sustain your people and direct the provision of food, shelter and clothing. When lies spread and faithful saints are wrongly accused and vilified, please encourage your people that you are the truth that sets people free. When injustice seems to prevail and confusion abounds, please direct your people on your secure paths of righteousness, for you are the way. When hatred multiplies and your people are persecuted for their devotion to you, please assure them of the power of your love, for your steadfast love that never ceases. God of mercy and love, thank you that your compassions never fail. We continue to pray about the conflict between Israel and both Hamas and Hezbollah. We pray that Israel would pay heed to the United States and other countries, the United Nations demands to protect unarmed civilians and allow much more humanitarian aid in. In the pursuit of the ringleaders of these two organisations, Israel cannot say that the tens of thousands killed and the devastating destruction are simply collateral damage. Despite people being used as human shields, as Israel is stating, they still bomb anyway. Adults, teenagers, children and babies maimed and killed. People hungry for food and in need of medical supplies and care, which is sadly lacking. Lord, we know that evil must be overcome, but is this the way? Hatred fueling more hatred. Closer to home, we pray for your comfort for those affected by the deaths of the family from Glasgow and the other driver involved in that road traffic collision on the M6 in Cumbria. We pray too for the boy, the passenger undergoing treatment in hospital, for his care and recovery. Eternal God, all authority is yours. You hold the universe within your hands and us within your care. You touch the heart of rich and poor alike. You speak to the powerful and powerless. The rulers and the ruled are all within your creation. And may all in authority recognize afresh that yours is the final power. Somewhere in the circle of our lives, each of us holds influence and power. May pride be reduced, compassion increased, and the good of all become our common aim. And so now, in this silent moment, we bring to you our own personal prayers for those in need of your love and care at this time. So, Father, we bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Hymn 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.